Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Let's talk some college football. We are just days away from the start of this season. I can't wait. I know Cole Kublik can't wait either, because that means he gets to work literally every day of the rest of the year. Is that accurate? How many days off do you foresee for yourself between now and New Year's Day? Two? Three?
None.
No.
Really. I mean, even days off, I'll be doing something. I'm taking Friday and Monday off of radio. So I'm going to try to get a little bit of downtime this weekend, and then it's pretty much on from there. Just I'll say this. I don't expect to have an actual day off. So yeah. I'll put it that way.
I got you. Well, yeah, if anybody's up for the challenge, I know that it's you. I'm going to put you on. This is a big question. We're going to start off big here. I don't want to know who the best player in the SEC is. I don't want to know who the most valuable player in the SEC is. Who is the most talented athlete in the SEC this year?
Ooh, most talented athlete. I think James Pierce, Tennessee, probably has to be up there. Think probably Luther Burden. We need to think about just versatility, ability. I mean, you get the ball in his hands, he can make you miss, he can run past you. Crazy good hands. When I think most talented athlete, I think about, all right, if I stuck you at four or five different positions, you'd probably be okay. Like Luther Burden could probably play safety. He might be able to get away at corner. If we needed you at running back, he'd probably be okay. Like James Pierce could probably play tight end. He could probably play off the ball if he had to. Like that's what I think about most talented athletes. And I think most of those guys would qualify.
That's a good list. I think you can win a lot of football games with some of those guys for sure. There's this group of I've sort of said it as there's playoff contenders and there's national title contenders in the SEC this year. I think there's six teams in both of those in those groups combined, right? Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, Missouri, Tennessee. That's where I would stop. If you want to add LSU, you can. I wouldn't. Somebody in that group's not going to make it. I mean, maybe two teams aren't going to make it. Who are those two teams?
I like how you separated those, because I haven't done it that way just yet, but I like that, because you're right about there's going to be teams that get into the playoff, I think probably from every conference, that may not be able to win a national championship. I think Georgia's in. I'm going to say that. I think Georgia's going to have some leeway with their schedule because of how difficult it is. I still think we're not talking about it as being as difficult as it really is. If you put Georgia's schedule in front of Mississippi State, Auburn, Arkansas, we're talking about the way we're talking about Florida's schedule. Mm-hmm. But because it's Georgia, we're not having that conversation. Texas is already getting a little bit banged up, but they have high-end talent. You know, they're a team that absolutely cannot just get there, but can probably go win it. And Alabama can win it. They've got the talent, the coaching, the experience to go win it. So they're going to be there. And this is what happened when these polls started coming out, Brian. And I didn't really have this awakening until the coaches poll came out. And I was like, hold on a second. We got a couple SEC teams here between 9 and 12, but there's no Big 12 team and there's no Group of 5 team, which means there's going to be teams ranked in the top 10, top 12 that are not going to the playoff. And there are going to be some people that don't like that very much.
Mm-hmm.
So just another thing we're going to have to kind of wrap our brains around, that's going to be very different, that we haven't had to really navigate before. But I will say that, oh man, I think Georgia's in. I think Ole Miss gets in. I think either Texas or Alabama get in. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, I think Missouri's in. Mm. So, just I love the schedule. I love the way it plays out. Like, now I do think that we have this mindset right now that 10-2 is just going to get everybody in. And I actually don't think that's applicable to teams like Ole Miss, Missouri, Penn State. Like, you go look at some of those schedules and everybody just says, oh, 10-2 is in. It's like, all right, well, if you're like Notre Dame's schedule, they go 10-2, now start giving me their best wins.
Yeah.
because they're not going to have a lot of good wins if they go 10-2. So I don't know if that answers your question or not.
I liked it. I liked it. Who's the team in the SEC that we're underestimating this season? Who's the team that's going to be a fly in the ointment?
Well, you have to start with Oklahoma because they play almost all of those teams that we talked about.
Yeah.
That potentially could not only get in, but potentially go win a national championship. So, I mean, they have the potential to impact all of it more than anybody else. So you start with them. But I think, and this is probably because the expectations are just so low, I do think that Florida is getting almost no respect. And I think Florida could be a lot better than people think, but those people are thinking they're going to win 3 or 4 games. I know the schedule, but it's still Florida, and they still have talent. And if you put Murch's numbers on any other quarterback in the league coming back, they're talking about him winning 10 games. So I think Auburn has spoiler potential, but I don't think that they're going to be able to consistently go get, you know, enough wins to get to like 10. So probably, depending on how you view Oklahoma, they could fall in that category. Florida and Auburn would be the other two.
This today on the podcast, what we're talking about, we do a thing where we rank state starters by our confidence in them. We call it our all 22 rankings, and we go 1 through 22. You did state spring game earlier this year. When I look at state's first 22, I got a lot of questions in there, and then we start talking about depth. Does this Mississippi State team have enough depth to compete in the SEC this year?
Probably not. No, but I do think they have enough frontline talent to be really dangerous. You have to start at quarterback, and I think that would be – I mean, you tell me how you ranked them. I don't know, but I would imagine if you were doing confidence rankings on starter versus backup, that would probably be one of your bigger differentials. You might have Blake Chapin as like an 8, 8.5 confidence, and your backup is like a 4, 5, something like that, whereas most everybody else is going to be like a 6 and an 8 or a 7 and a 9, whatever that would be. So it's already going to be a lighter front 7 to begin with, and I think it's only going to be more so if you were to lose a guy or two. So that doesn't help you very much. It's just when you have that kind of roster turnover and you have to go get different type bodies to give you the things that you need to do what they want to do, that's what you're going to run into. And part of it is just today's college football. I mean, we heard Kirby complain about this the other day that, you know, this is the first year that, you know, he's had more turnover every year he's been at Georgia. But that's not because guys don't like it. It's just that's today's college football. So that's the good news for state is that's an everybody problem. It's just what's the extent of that problem for your roster?
We talked earlier this week on the show about the perception, I guess is the right word. It seems like every year in the SEC, and it has really been the case this year, that Arkansas gets a benefit of the doubt that Mississippi State doesn't. State has dominated that series over the last decade. They finished ahead of Arkansas basically every year, and yet there was a power rankings this week that had Arkansas 50 spots ahead nationally of Mississippi State, and Mississippi State was picked almost unanimously as the second worst team in the conference, and Arkansas, you know, anywhere from 11th through 14th. What is it about Arkansas, a team that State has, again, dominated over the last decade, that gets them the benefit of the doubt that Mississippi State just can't seem to get?
I don't know if I can give you a real answer for that, because the first thing that popped into my mind is, well, you know, they've had their runs with Petrino before where they got to number 3 or number 1 or whatever it is. But then it's like, well, State had those runs. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been to an SEC championship game. You know, they've been highly ranked in the college football playoff polls under Dan Mullen. So why would they not benefit from that also? And it's an interesting thought and question, and I don't really know what it is. I think maybe specifically this year is you would look at a lack of an overhaul on how you were going to manage things offensively. But I mean, Arkansas, even though it's not totally different, it's going to be different. I mean, hell, Sam Pittman's telling us they're going to run I formation at SEC Media Days, which I love, and I'm excited to see it.
Did you get a little excited when you heard I formation?
I did.
You had to have.
Yeah, I did. But I don't know. I mean, I could sit there and tell you we're going to go run triple option or we're going to go run air raid. You still have to have the personnel to do it, and they have to be able to execute it. And I don't know what that part's going to look like. I'm more confident in State's quarterback situation. So that's usually something that the surface layer media or the national media, when they're talking about teams that they don't know as much about, how they sort of get giddy or happy or excited over is when, oh, we have so-and-so quarterback. Like, I think Taylen Green's got a chance to be okay. Bobby usually does a great job with his quarterbacks, but I'm more confident in Blake Shapen and what he's going to be able to do. So I don't know. I don't view the lines of scrimmage as being that different between those two teams. I just think that that's one that maybe it's the Petrino effect. Maybe it's just, overall roster, more names they recognize on that Arkansas roster. I couldn't give you a very fair answer for that one, Brian, because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me either.
It's that Walmart money, Cole. They've been bought off. We all know what's going on up there. Last question. I've made the comparison all offseason between State this year and Ole Miss the first year Kiffin and Lebby were there together. So in 2019, the last year of Matt Luke, Ole Miss averaged 26 points per game. That was 82nd nationally in scoring offense. The next year, they jumped up to 39 points per game, was 14th nationally. And, of course, that was against an all-Power 5 or all-SEC schedule except for the bowl game. I don't think that's a fair jump. I don't think State's going up 13 points per game, but they only averaged 21, almost 22 points per game last season. What's a realistic number to say that State can score this per game?
I think close to 30.
Okay.
I mean, you tell me who's the dominant defense going to be in the league this year?
I mean, State will play with Georgia and Texas.
Yeah. And Texas secondary wasn't very good last year. Yeah. And by the way, they lost their two best players on defense who both happened to play in the middle of that defense on the line of scrimmage, which allows you to do a lot of other stuff to make life easy on your corners, your safeties, your linebackers, your edge defenders, everybody essentially. Now they go get an edge rusher from UTSA. It's going to make them a little bit different. They got a freshman edge defender that might help. Maybe the secondary a year later is better. But I don't think Texas is going to have an elite defense. I think it might be pretty good, but if they win a national title, it's going to be because of that offense.
Yeah.
I think Georgia's defense can be really good, but it's not going to be 3 years ago good. I mean, they don't have near as many scary guys as they had in the secondary last year, number one, or on the defensive line that they had 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So it's like we talked about in Media Days for the first time that I can remember. I mean, honest to God, Brian, I don't know when the last time I would have told you that I feel like collectively the offensive lines are ahead of the defensive lines in this league. I mean, that sounds like crazy talk because we're used to all these teams just having badasses on the D-line. State's got two. Auburn's got three. Georgia's got five. Bama's got two. Ole Miss has two. You know, Florida's got three. That it can just wreck your game. There's only a handful of guys like that total in the league this year, it feels like. So, and then you got the portal turnover and different coaches coming in and out, new schemes. I feel like you might have a little bit of an easier time scoring some points this year than you did the last couple of years.
We shall see. I'm ready for football. I know that you are too. Cole Kublik, I didn't even list off all the accolades, Mac and Cube, ESPN, SEC Network. Well, are you still doing the show with Roman Harper this year?
We will be back. Season 2, Read and React. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Love Roman. Love working with him. I learned a lot from him.
You just work with Alabama people. That's just your thing. You just you don't mind stretching the rivalry. Me either, though.
It is weird. No, it's very weird. I think I've done three different individual shows with former Alabama players. It's three former Alabama players. So it's wild to kind of think about, but the good news is, at least the ones that I'm working with now, I'm big fans of. So it's hard to carry McElroy every day, but I found a way to do it. And Roman makes life easy. So
Also, check out The Cube Show, one of the best college football podcasts out there, especially if you're a person like me who just wants to talk about college football, and I could care less about the business side of things. Cole Kublik, he scratches that itch for me when he puts up The Cube Show. Cole, thanks so much for your time, man. Really appreciate it.
Brian, I appreciate it, man. Always good catching up with you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.